Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching. If you haven't already visited us over at AuthenticHealthCoach.com, please do. We have an amazing free report for you with Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level. And thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Today we have an amazing interview with Dr. Sybil Kramer, who is an endocrinologist and an expert on diabetes. She works entirely with diabetes patients in her practice, and she's been working for over 30 years in private practice, and she just has an amazing wealth of information on diabetes, but on human health in general, and especially on nutrition. It's a big focus in her practice, and she is just an absolute expert, and she has a heart of gold. I think that comes through so clearly in this interview, and you're just going to love it. So enjoy. This interview is about an hour long. So if you don't have time to listen to it all at once, that's fine. You can come back and listen to it again when you have more time. But it's absolutely amazing information. I would listen to it multiple times and take great notes. All right? Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today and for coming on the Authentic Health Coaching podcast show. And why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit more about you and your background?
Sure. My name is Dr. Sybil Kramer. I'm an endocrinologist, and I'm in full practice at Melrose, Massachusetts. An endocrinologist is a branch of internal medicine where we concentrate on the treatment and prevention of disease that are hormonally based. The most common diseases I treat are diabetes, thyroid problems, osteoporosis, sometimes unexplained causes of obesity, and other type things.
Awesome. And I know that you've been practicing as an MD for, over 30 years now, is that right?
Over 30 years. I actually graduated from medical school in 1975, did internship and residency for 5 years. The last 2 years, the training was just concentrated on endocrinology. And then I started practice way back in 1980.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes over the years. What kind of changes have you seen in the American public's health over that time?
Back when I started practice, people were actually paying for office visits. They were more responsible for their own health. Medicare was starting, but it was optional whether doctors accepted Medicare or not. So patients actually would pay for their drugs, for their medical care, and then they would apply to be reimbursed. So the amount of charges were actually decided between doctors and patients. Things weren't regulated the same. Patients would really come in when they felt they needed medical care, and they would really try to get the most out of their visit because they didn't want to have to come back and pay more. So I think they paid more attention, and they took more personal responsibility for their health rather than having the government and the insurance company be responsible for the cost and then feeling responsibility to deal with the doctor. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a shift in customer, where the customers were my patients before, and now the customers are more insurance company and the government.
That's really fascinating. And, you know, what you talk about personal responsibility is, you know, what I talk with my clients and customers every single day is that you've got to take responsibility for your own health. You know, no one else can do it for you. It's not your doctor's job or your chiropractor's job or anyone else's job. Is your own job, you know, to take responsibility and then to build the team of doctors and chiropractors and people around you to help you with that.
Yeah, people used to do that automatically. Now it seems that people will get a primary care physician who is usually a family practitioner or an internist, and then it's up to the internist to kind of build a team and tell the patient, you know, where they can find all the resources that they need. And the physicians actually share the responsibility for the patient's risks. Many insurance companies audit our charts if they don't think our treatment is adequate or appropriate, or if patients aren't doing well, they actually withhold a portion of our payment. So it really, the responsibility really just shifted from doctor to patient. I mean, from patient to doctor, and I think that's a bad shift.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is that we really need to, you know, take a step back as the American people and personally and say, you know, it's my responsibility for my own health, and, you know, I've really got to step up and take charge and take control of it.
I think that's definitely right. And people seem to be overwhelmed and stressed with activities of daily life, and they don't seem to want to look at things in the long range. What'll happen if I don't follow my diet? What'll happen if I don't exercise? Do I really need to take the medicines that somebody asked for? And they do it in other things, too. They vote without learning about the candidates, and they'll just look at two-minute sound bites and make decisions. And I think we need to get back to thinking about issues in the long range, what's best for us as individuals, what's best for us, you know, what's best for us as a community and a country, and start working together to rebuild things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're just talking about, you know, looking in the long term, you know, what is this activity or this action going to look like in my life or in my health the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years? You know, if I start taking this medication, you know, how is that going to help me 20 years from now? If I start changing my diet, how is that going to help me 20 years from now? If I start changing my physical activity, how is that going to help me 20 years from now? And really looking at that and making a plan and not waiting for tomorrow. You know, so many people put off those important health changes until the next day, and then the next day comes again and again and again, and they never really get around to making those changes that they need to make. So, I really love your approach to helping people, you know, focus on what they can do starting today to turn their health around.
It's really hard, and a lot of times in order to treat people, you have to get them to think about long-term, what's long-term best for them, for their family, helping them focus on their dreams, their goals, their passions. And say, if you don't concentrate on making yourself strong and healthy today, you may not get there. Well, you may not get there as well. And it's really hard. And then they go, well, we have all of these bills to pay, and this one's being foreclosed on their house. And the way the economy is, everyone's feeling so stressed, they almost feel like, well, tomorrow isn't such a big deal. I have to make it through right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of people living in fear like that, and I'm sure that fear is not good, you know, psychologically for the health either anyway. So, you know, it's kind of a double whammy where they've got that fear, and then they've also got the inaction as well. So they're not taking control of their health, and they've got that fear that's bringing down their immune system and causing all that stress as well.
It's very difficult, and they focus on what things cost, and they're balancing, do I pay the mortgage, do I buy the medications, do I go to the doctor, do I have this gym membership, do I get enough sleep, do I tack on a second job? And surviving today is creating such stress and such this feeling of responsibility about what I have to get done before the sun comes down. They don't think about 10, 20, 30 years from now. Mm-hmm. And while I can understand and empathize with them, I don't want to see them 10, 20, 30 years from now sicker and feeling, gee, I wish I paid more attention. So I try to really refocus them, and it's not easy.
Mm. Absolutely, I hear you. And I hear you really your heart for your patients and how much you really want to help them and serve them. And so let's talk a little bit more about diabetes, because I know that's your expertise, your area of expertise, and really your main focus now as a physician has been on diabetes for many years. So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, first of all, like how prevalent is diabetes and a little bit more about what the diseases are exactly.
Sure. There are two types of diabetes. There's type 1 and there's type 2. With diabetes, there is a relative deficiency in insulin, which means your body doesn't have enough insulin to maintain normal blood sugar control. As a result, blood sugar goes up. With type 1 diabetes, it's an autoimmune disease where the cells that produce insulin, called the beta cells of the pancreas, they'll be killed. And they'll be killed over a period usually of 5 to 10 years. And when the insulin production goes down to a critical level, the person will go from feeling reasonably well to being very sick. About 2 in 1,000 Americans have it. And this disease strikes mostly children, teenagers, and young adults. They'll feel fine, and then all of a sudden they'll develop the symptoms of high blood sugar, which are urinating a lot, being thirsty, feeling tired, eating more, and in spite of all that, just losing weight. And they'll get sicker and sicker. And if it's not treated quickly, they can end up in the hospital with a life-threatening situation called ketoacidosis. These people will need insulin to rescue them from this situation and to keep them from getting back into it. Type 2 diabetes is much more prevalent. 25 million Americans have it, and there are probably many out there who should be added to this number, and they don't know that they have it. It's different than the type 1 because these people have insulin that doesn't work right. So as a result, they need very high amount of insulin in order to maintain the blood sugars. So they can be walking around with 2 and 3 times the amount of insulin and still have high blood sugars. It usually starts very slowly, and the symptoms progress slowly, and they're similar with the urinating a lot and the thirst. Usually they don't lose weight because they manage to eat enough to either maintain or increase their weight. And as they increase their weight, their insulin resistance, or the ability for the insulin to work, gets even worse, and they start requiring more and more insulin, and they get into a downward spiral where the blood sugars just keep increasing. This disease usually starts with a condition called prediabetes, which is even more prevalent. 79 million Americans have prediabetes, and most of them don't know it. They could figure out who they are. They're people who weigh too much, but it's not just the weight. It's the amount of fat that's in their abdomen, the area above the belt. Many of them have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. They don't exercise, don't have much muscle mass, and they're just kind of like an accident waiting to happen. If they don't change their ways, they are all destined to develop diabetes over a 10-year period. With an increase and improvement in their exercise routine and a good diet, about 60% of them will not develop diabetes over the next 10 years. So it's very important that they be identified, treated, to prevent them from having not just diabetes, but all of the complications of diabetes.
Gotcha, yeah, and this is just becoming an epidemic now. I mean, 25 million people with diabetes, as you said, and 79 million with prediabetes. I mean, that's like a third of Americans that have diabetes or prediabetes already. And, of course, it's just the numbers are only getting worse and worse every year as American health just continues to fail and fall down and get even worse. And it's really scary.
It's very scary, and it should really be scary for all Americans. It's not just a third that have it. It's the cost of treatment. And when treatment gets shifted to insurance companies and government, we all start paying for it. The cost of just treating diabetes is about $100 billion every year, and it's estimated to be about $830 billion by 2030. And this inability to take care of health, the obesity epidemic, and the diabetes epidemic, in conjunction with the government taking responsibility for everybody's health, is a major contributor toward our national debt, which, as taxpayers, we all have to somehow pay down to straighten out our national economy. So it's not just the misery that the disease causes an individual. It's a problem that it's causing for our entire nation.
Absolutely, and that, I mean, that really is scary. I mean, with everything that went on with the debt limit and the debt ceiling, and, you know, now as a nation, we have over $14 trillion in national debt, and, you know, the medical bills just keep adding up and adding up, and all the Medicare costs and so on and so forth is just increasing our debt to really unsustainable levels. And with diabetes and cancer and heart disease getting so much worse every year, you know, it's scary to think of as a professional in the health industry and nutrition industry, you know, where are we going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Can we even be able to afford health care for the average American? And will we even be able to, you know, turn around this tide of disease?
I think unless we get people into personal responsibility for their own health and start teaching them early, Like one thing I advocate, which they used to do when I went to school, nutrition was a very large part of the curriculum in public schools. Parents used to be invited to science fairs, and large part of that used to be nutrition. Every kid would graduate from sixth grade. They'd know about the food pyramid, the food groups. They'd have ideas of how many calories there were in food. Unfortunately, they didn't really know at that time that carbohydrates were bad. At that time, they were concentrating more on lowering fat. But I think the concept of teaching kids about nutrition and teaching kids that they need to teach their parents about nutrition and getting families involved so that obesity doesn't affect our kids so early is really important. Right now, our kids have lower life expectancies than we do. And that's all from improper eating, eating too much, playing video games, sitting around computers and not getting exercise, and not learning the proper way to eat and have eat and having parents enforce it is a big hunk of our national problem, as well as problems for individuals.
Yeah, you know, that really is scary, and it just breaks my heart to think that, you know, children today will have a shorter life expectancy than their parents, and that they'll die before their parents will die. I mean, you know, that's the first time in history that's ever happened in America that that's been able to change that way, and I just think it's wrong. It's just so wrong that as the richest and wealthiest nation in the world, that our health is just falling over a cliff, and it's like so few people are paying attention. And so few people are willing to step up, as you say, and really take responsibility for their own health. But, you know, I think it's our duty to ourselves and to our family and to our country as patriotic Americans or whatever country you're from, you know, to really step up and take responsibility, because every country around the world is facing these similar health challenges and health crises. And, you know, if the average person doesn't go ahead and take control of their health themselves, then, you know, we all fall off the cliff together. And so it's really up to each individual person to take responsibility.
It's very scary, and I don't think the government can take responsibility for people's health in the way people are wanting them to and expecting them to. It's almost like having the government take charge of everything. The government should make sure that you have enough food, that you're housed in the right place, that you watch your health. Maybe they'll even tell us what movies to watch and everything else. And I've been seeing national freedoms going down as the debt's been going up, and we've been trying to control it. And I think we really need to give power back to the people. And the problem is the people need to be willing to assume the responsibility that goes along with that power. And diabetes seems to be the type of disease that shows who's willing to step up and take care of themselves and who aren't. For example, when I see people with diabetes and they don't monitor their blood sugar, they don't know what their hemoglobin A1C is, which is an average blood sugar, and it correlates to diabetes control. They don't know what their cholesterol is, even though it's reviewed with them that people with diabetes who have high cholesterol are even more likely to have complications of diabetes, such as strokes and heart attacks. Some of them even smoke, and I'll explain to them that people with diabetes have 5 times the chance of having a heart attack. People who smoke have 5 times the chance of having a heart attack, and people with diabetes who smoke have 25 times the chance of having a heart attack.
Wow. That's
scary. Many of them don't keep their office visits, where they don't have their blood pressure checked, which is another risk factor for all these things. They don't check their weight. They sit at the computer and eat too much instead of exercising. And people want to blame the doctor and the healthcare system. And it really comes down to people accepting personal responsibility, learning and developing the tools they need to keep themselves healthy, and having the healthcare practitioner really help them learn what they need to do and helping them implement these changes. And implementation is much harder than education.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I know every one of our listeners is really gone out there and sought out this information, or else they wouldn't be listening to us right now. And they're seeking that education and getting that education. So, you know, obviously, just this call alone, I'm sure they're going to learn so much about their health and how they can take it to the next level. But, you know, how could someone take this? Well, you know, what tips do you have for someone who's got the education, who's listening to this call right now? You know, how can they start implementing things today to really improve their health and take their health to the next level?
Okay, one of the things they need to do is to figure out what they know, what they need, and then what they need to know, and figure out where the gaps are. And one of the big gaps is actually diet. Many people are instructed on things that they need to eat, and they don't know how to cook. And one of the things that I've tried to do is to devise a website to help people with motivation and implementation. For people who don't know how to cook, they can go to my website, which is at www.diabeticsurvivalkit.com. My daughter, who is probably an average cook in a normal kitchen, will demonstrate how to cook meals that are friendly for people with diabetes, discuss the nutritional information, and let them know good sources to get recipes. They need to learn everything they need to learn about diabetes in general, what it does to their body, because people who understand things about the disease will be more motivated to implement. I encourage people when they see their doctors to let them know they have trouble implementing or they don't understand things. Ask for sources, ask for information. Visit with a diabetic educator who can review diet and things in more detail. If people go to my website, they can find links to cookbooks and recipes which work. They can learn how to read food labels, and that's really important when you go shopping, because you can pick up a food label, a food, and it'll say, this has no cholesterol, no trans fats, but it doesn't say that it has a ton of sodium and a ton of carbohydrates and other things. So when they shop, they need to go slow, look at the food labels, and try to see, is this something that I really need for my body? The other thing they need to do, which really hurts with implementation, is they can't just learn in a vacuum. They need to get their whole family involved. And very often I found that when people leave my office, they don't really know how to explain to their family what they need to do and why. So they can invite my family to look at my website, again, at www.diabeticsurvivalkit.com. And then they can all learn together. So say if you have a man who likes his pasta, he'll get to see that that much pasta is bad for his wife, and he'll be more willing to make changes. He may even discover that he has pre-diabetes, as the odds of finding that. And an adult who likes pasta are probably greater than 1 out of 3. And if people have difficulties doing these things, they need to involve their healthcare provider. Ask questions. Be involved. When people are learning things, often in school, they'd be afraid to say, gee, I don't understand, because they think their classmates would make fun of them. This really isn't education, and this isn't about taking tests and about showing off and about being smart. This is about learning how to control your disease. And if you don't know something, ask, because all the healthcare provider wants to do is to help you and help motivate you and give you all the tools that you need.
Absolutely. And I love your focus on families, because, you know, what I found over and over and over again is that, you know, the average parent will do so much more for their children than they ever would do for themselves. You know, you'll have someone who's 50 years old with diabetes who's obese, and, you know, they'll let that slide for years and won't think a second time about it. But then all of a sudden, you know, their 13-year-old daughter goes in and gets diagnosed with diabetes, and they're all of a sudden, that fire comes up in their eyes, and they decide, you know, this is the time we really got to get our health back on track as a family. And they start to do the things they have to do to protect their children, and at the same time, they begin to implement the things that they have to do to protect themselves. And so I think it's so important that you get the whole family involved, because You know, people will do so much more to help other people than oftentimes than they'll do to help themselves.
I know, it's fascinating, and I try to encourage people, even before they have kids or before their kids start having trouble, you need to be a good role model for your children. If one parent has diabetes, the odds of a child developing diabetes is about 50%. If both parents have it, the odds of them developing diabetes is about 95%.
Wow.
And that's on a genetic basis developing the insulin resistance. Diabetes itself, where the blood sugar actually goes up and it can be diagnosed, that can be held off with good habits of diet and exercise. And it needs to be started young. By the time the child is 13 and sat at the computer and the TV and doesn't like sports and walking and exercise and is used to high-carbohydrate diet, some damage has been done. And it's very difficult to turn these bad behaviors around. So they really need to be the role model, the leader, and they need to pave the way for their kids. And the most important thing they can do for their children is to take good care of themselves so they can be there and help their kids grow up. And not just in terms of health, but you want to help your kids develop their goals, their dreams, their aspirations, and you want to help them come to fruition. And to do that, you need to be healthy, and you need to encourage your kids to be healthier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I love your focus on prevention and, you know, how you share the message that, you know, diabetes is something that can be prevented and something that can be improved by just making these simple changes in your health and your diet and so on. And, you know, I feel like so many times people are discouraged because they hear people say that, oh, diabetes is chronic and there's no way you can ever get better and heart disease is terminal and there's no way you can ever get better and cancer is terminal, there's no way you can ever get better. And, you know, I had someone tell me that, you know, there's no terminal disease, there's only terminal thinking. And
That's exactly right. I mean, we're all destined to die someday. And I think what's more important is not focusing on when we're going to die. More important is focusing on how we live.
Absolutely.
And people who have diabetes, to me, they're heroes. I kind of see them as walking around with a 70-pound backpack, carrying out all of their daily activities and still maintaining their hope, dreams, and aspirations. And I see them, they're like soldiers. They're like heroes, only the burden that they carry is invisible. And sometimes they feel like they're carrying it alone, which makes it even more difficult for them. But if they meet the challenge, then the diabetes doesn't beat them. I kind of tell my patients diabetes is different than other diseases. I can't treat it for you. You need to treat it yourself. And what I am is a coach. I kind of help guide you. I show you what to do. I help you implement it. But you need to do it. And what's important are your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. I call it your why. Maybe your why is, I want to see my kids grow up. Maybe your why is something that you really want to do special in your life. And you need to remember the why. And that will help give you the strength to carry around the burden of having diabetes and actually doing it and following through.
Absolutely. You know, one of my mentors, Jim Rohn, said if your why is big enough, you can endure almost any how. And if you just have enough reasons to live, enough reasons to move forward and to take action, enough reasons to take care of your children and your grandchildren and be there for them, then you'll do whatever it takes to get better from diabetes or from whatever condition that you have, wherever you are in your life. And, you know, you just have to really focus on, you know, what do I really want and what are my reasons for taking action? You know, it doesn't matter how hard it is to cook or to eat healthy or to exercise. You know, if your reasons are big enough, if you really want to be there for your children that badly, you'll do whatever it takes.
That's exactly right. And I tell them the same thing. You need to do whatever it takes and look at your goals and your reasons. And that should provide you the strength to get you there. I mean, many times I'm actually working to help build up somebody's ego because when they hear they have diabetes, they become so overwhelmed by it. And I try to get them to the point where they don't feel like they're a diabetic. They feel like they're a person with diabetes. And there are a lot of people who just throw up their hands and say, well, I'm just going to wait for the cure, and they don't follow the things that they need to do. And I tell them, I don't know when the cure is going to happen, but you need to learn to live with this. And the way you overcome diabetes is by having a successful life. Many people have different kinds of handicaps, and they learn to find their why, and they learn to reach it, and they learn to go for it. And in my mind, that's the way you overcome any kind of challenge, including diabetes. And until I get them to the point where they stop being depressed and feeling overwhelmed and throwing their hands up, it's very hard to help them overcome diabetes. I try to give them role models. For example, Bobby Orr, the hockey player, he didn't let diabetes stop him. Mary Tyler Moore, a spokesman for type 1 diabetes, she became extremely successful. She didn't let diabetes stop her. And what stops people isn't the diabetes. It's the way they respond to hearing about it and react. And when you give up, you have nothing. When you decide you're going to go for something, keep your eye on the goal. And even if you're off course sometimes, if you get yourself back on course, and if you keep moving and looking and striving, then you weren't beaten by the diabetes. You've overcome it.
Absolutely. You know, you're never beaten until you quit, until you give up. And I see just so many people today, they just give up with their health. They've just given up. And I think it's because they just, like you're talking about all these psychological aspects, they just don't have the self-esteem. They don't have the enough reasons to really live and to move on and to take that next step for their health. And it's just so sad.
It really is. You know, diabetes is a huge burden. I even tell my patients when they're first diagnosed, you have a part-time job with no pay. You're going to have to use a lot of discipline to control this. And I define discipline as figuring out what you need to do, doing it to the best of your ability, and doing it that way all the time. And as human beings, we're not geared to being disciplined all the time. We need to develop a lot of ego strength to have the courage sometimes just to face a day. And I try to tell them they're not alone. They're resources. And I give them instructions. When you feel like you need help, just call. You know, they all have our phone number. I have a time when I speak to everybody before I leave the office every day. Not everybody, everybody who calls in asking for help. And on top of all this, they know that no matter what they do, they are at increased risk for heart attacks, blindness. Blindness is the number one cause of blindness in the United States is diabetes. They're at 4 times the risk of stroke. Diabetes is the number one cause of kidney failure. And people with diabetes are 100 times more likely to suffer from a non-traumatic amputation of the legs. And on top of all the things they need to do, they need to learn to live with the sword of Damocles over their heads. And then on top of that, they feel guilty because maybe they'll pass their genes on to their kids. They feel alone because people don't understand the burden and what they have to go through every day. And that's one of the reasons I actually started my website. And many of my patients will just turn it on, and they'll see some of the encouraging things I've had to say, or they'll look at a cooking lesson from my daughter. And just seeing somebody and knowing that there are resources and help out there will just give them courage to keep going. One of them just looks at my face every day on the website and says, okay, I know you're there for me, so I'm going to do what you told me to do. And everybody needs their one thing that will give them the courage just to face what they have to face every single day and to learn to live in the now and enjoy the present and not think about that sword that's over their head. I kind of tell them, do the best you can. worrying about what may happen isn't going to support you. Try to be supportive and try to think of your goals and passions and picture yourself getting there, and you will.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just love how you're just so supportive of your patients and how you're really much more than just a doctor to them. You're a coach and a cheerleader for them. And I see so many people today where their doctor is just someone who kind of gives them a report card on their health, and they never, they don't have access to their doctor to ask them more questions or to get support or coaching or help or advice from them on an ongoing basis. And so many people are trying to, fix their health on their own, and they just can't do it on your own. It's just not something that you can do all by yourself. And I love how, you really help your patients just take their health to the next level, and you're so, you just go above and beyond for them. And, I wish every person in America had that kind of support, had that kind of coach, had that kind of health team to help them take their health to the next level, because I think that's really the key. In every area of your life, it's always so much more helpful to have a mentor, to have someone who's kind of gone before you, who's done what you want to do, who's got the knowledge and resources and skills that you need to overcome the challenges that you're facing. And, I feel like without a mentor, you're just taking a wild shot with your health.
It's pretty difficult. When I first started medical practice, I was more into the science of diabetes. And as I became more and more experienced, I started realizing that it's the person you're treating, and it's the overall person. And one of the interesting things is when people learn to deal with the diabetes and take responsibility and take the decision, and their ego is strengthened so they can do that, they take charge in other areas of their life. Many of them have told me that their credit card debts are getting eliminated, because they're not spending money on things and doing things, and they're planning ahead. And the skills to manage health are very similar to the skills to manage finance, relationships, and other aspects of their life. And doctors really don't treat diseases. We treat people. Unfortunately, insurance companies grade doctors on how we treat diseases, and they look for numbers. They judge us on certain metrics. And many doctors feel that if the patients aren't going to meet the metrics, then they're going to get bad grades, maybe thrown off insurance plans. And it becomes difficult for doctors to have patients who don't follow their instructions, because that hurts the doctor too. And it's the shift to insurance companies and government that is forcing doctors, especially the young ones who have been bred up in this environment, to concentrate almost exclusively on the science and the metrics and not on the people who are trying to help.
Yeah, I see you. I see the situation. It's just a shame. And, it's so important, as you say, that people understand that health is connected, and that as they improve their diabetes or whatever condition they're facing with their health, they're going to improve every area of life. Because who you have to become to overcome diabetes or cancer or heart disease is a whole other person on a whole other level than you are now. And when you overcome that challenge, as great as it may seem now, you're going to overcome challenges in every area of your life and become a much stronger, better person. And, your finances will improve, your relationships will improve, your family life will improve, your career life will improve, because as you overcome those challenges, you're growing as a person. And, one of my mentors told me, T. Harv Eker, that you're either growing or you're dying. There's no middle ground, and it's just like a plant, a tree. If the tree stops growing, it's going to die. That's just how it works, and I believe as people too, if you stop growing, you're going to die. And so, if you really want to take responsibility for your health, the only way you can do it is by growing, by learning, by becoming better, by developing that discipline that you've talked about. And as you do that, every area of your life improves. So it's really about much more than just your health. It's about living a great life, living a better life, living the life you really want to live.
No, that's exactly right. I have all my patients do affirmations too, and that helps. And I have them write some of the affirmations I encourage are, I'm not a diabetic, I'm a person with diabetes. I have them think about where they want to go. And sometimes people are taught through negatives when they should be taught through positives. For example, many people will take a picture of themselves being overweight and put that on their refrigerator and think they'll get that to help them stop eating. I try to tell them, find a picture of yourself when you were nice and skinny and put that on the refrigerator and say, that's me. That's where I want to go. I encourage them to figure out their own affirmations and say them every day. And many of them will transfer from I'm bigger than my diabetes to I'm bigger than any problem. And if you're bigger than any problem, you can master any problem. And I agree. It's the same type of skills. And when I watch patients grow, sometimes I think that their diabetes was actually a gift because it was the force that started them on a new path of life where they're going to become bigger and stronger emotionally. And maybe because they need the discipline and the strength to overcome diabetes, they will also overcome other problems in their life. And maybe if they didn't develop these skills for treating their diabetes, they would have been beaten by other things.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, it's like the day that turns your life around. And that's one of my proudest moments as a health coach and nutrition coach is to see my clients and my customers who, you know, that day that turns their life around, when that light bulb goes on and they really do take responsibility for their health. And, you know, everything after that is just kind of a given, you know, going through the activities, changing their diet, doing the exercise, doing the things they need to do. It just flows naturally from that decision, from that moment of choice where they see a new vision for their life and they realize they can go for their dreams and goals and they can overcome the challenges that they're facing. And they just take responsibility right then and there. And, you know, I feel like it's just that one decision that makes all the difference, and everything afterward is just kind of, it just becomes easy because, you know, they have enough reasons. They've got that vision for their life of how they can be healthy, of how they can have what they want in their life. And, you know, it's just such an amazing moment. And it's why I do what I do, because I love to see people make that decision, make that commitment, and turn their life around.
No, I agree. And that's why I love what I do. You know, sometimes I'll be up at night trying to help somebody who's really sick. And everybody says, wow, you did this great thing. And it's really the patient who's the hero, not the doctor. If you kind of look at through all the miseries and things that they go through, it's just amazing to watch people grow and develop and become who they are. You know, especially when they're young. I sometimes see kids, teenagers, with type 1 diabetes. And before they developed the diabetes, they were terrible students. They were fresh to their parents. They didn't care. And they appeared as like teenagers that were destined to go nowhere. Then they get the diabetes, and now they're in shock. The sugars are high. They're sick. All this responsibility is dumped on them to take care of things. And they become even worse, and many of them are in and out of the hospital for a while. But very often, most of them will suddenly figure out a way to put this all together. And I've seen people go from students that are failing to honor students, to people who didn't care about the world, to joining things like Habitat for Humanity and other things, and start caring about society, themselves, and things bigger than themselves. And it's just incredible what happens when somebody will use all the resources that God gave them. And while the diagnosis of diabetes is painful, very often out of pain grows great things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you say, that the patient is the hero. It's just so true, you know, when that person sees what's been inside themselves all along, that they have the power to change, they have the power to live the life they really want to live. It's just, you know, they really step up and become a hero. And it's just so exciting to see. And, you know, why don't we go ahead and share now some more resources, because I know we've got so many heroes on the line right now who have made that decision to take responsibility and are really looking for more things that they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really amazing. I think if you look at people with type 1 diabetes, now with science, people diagnosed at a young age with diabetes have very close to a normal lifespan. It's not a diagnosis of an early death. And watching people now live longer and live better through both science and through their own personal inner strength, it's just so gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I know you've got tons of resources to share, and we've just got about 10 minutes left, so why don't you go ahead and share some more resources that people can go and learn even more about embracing a healthy lifestyle.
Sure. You know, one of the things is a shake that I've located. It's called a Visala shake, and people can actually find this on my website. If they go to www.diabeticsurvivalkit.com, they'll find a link to this particular shake. And I'd just like to tell you a little bit about this absolutely fabulous company. They've recognized the problems that we've talked about, where 43% of Americans are destined to be obese by the year 2019. And the obesity will be caused by poor food choices, taking large portions of food that they shouldn't be eating, sitting around, using the computer, not liking sports and other things. The fact that our children can be the first generation of Americans to have a shorter lifespan than their parents, I think, was one of the most motivating factors to get this company going. The amount of money spent on obesity and the treatment of obesity is breaking our national economy, as we discussed before. Visala Sciences has actually made it their mission to help reverse this disturbing trend, where the eating too much and the obesity will lead to an increased incidence of diabetes, heart disease, poor productivity, premature aging, and early death. In 2009, Visala Science launched something which called the Body by Vi Challenge. And among the people who have joined with them and accepted the challenge have actually been a total loss in excess of 3 million pounds. The challenge is representing a movement of people who are taking action in a way that they can to reclaim their own health. This is a relatively new company. It was founded in 2005. It's actually recommended, mentioned in the Wall Street Journal, because the company is growing so fast. It has wonderful products that are scientifically based. And these products help people maintain their health, lose weight if they have an excess in body fat, feel better, be more productive. What's interesting about the shake is both what it contains and what it doesn't contain. The shake itself has what they call a tri-sor protein, which is soy-based, and they took the estrogen out of it. It's a powder, and the amount of protein that it has is 12 grams. And when you combine it with milk, or you can use soy milk or almond milk if you're lactose intolerant, you'll get 22 grams of protein. It has prebiotics, which are wonderful for digestive health, a full serving of fiber, calcium, and it's loaded up with vitamins and minerals. And the products, because it's a powder, the product's very versatile. You can mix it up with water, yogurt, cottage cheese. You can put it in other types of foods for variety. It comes with wonderful flavors. You can have a chocolate, strawberry, orange. You can even put in a little bit of instant coffee if you like caffeine in the morning. Many people don't eat breakfast in the morning. In fact, people who are obese, 30% of them don't eat breakfast in the morning. So if you don't eat breakfast, you're 30% more likely to be obese than if you do. Skipping breakfast does not help you keep your weight down. Having a healthy breakfast does, because a healthy breakfast will get your metabolism going in the right way. When you don't eat breakfast, your metabolism kind of shuts down. And then when you pile the calories on later, it pours in. So the Visala shake is great to everybody to eat for breakfast. If people have high blood pressure, the shake doesn't have much sodium, less than any shake that I've ever seen. It has almost no sugar or carbohydrate and no aspartame. The shakes cost less than $2, and if you mix that shake up with 8 ounces of skim milk, you'd get a pile of nutrition at only 170 calories. Vitalis Sciences recognizes that people have trouble losing weight by themselves, and they try to encourage family and friends doing this. So they have what they call a 3-for-3 promotion. If you can get your family or your friends, and you only need 3 to use this product, you get yours for free. And they promoted a new 90-day challenge, which doesn't just involve individuals. They promoted a 90-day challenge. And to motivate people, they actually have $10 million, and that's right, $10 million worth of prizes that they give out. And they're not just giving out for the biggest loser or the people who do the best. They're giving out for people who, people at random who just have joined the challenge. After reviewing the things that are in the Vitalis shake, I put my whole family on this. I've been on the shake now for about 40 days. I've actually lost 10 pounds. My husband lost 24 pounds. And my goal now is to get down to my high school weight, not just the weight that I've been carrying after I had my couple of kids. And I can tell you from personal experience and things that I've heard, the shakes taste great, and you can mix it any way that you want. There are many recipes, so you don't get tired. The company recommends that you use the shake both for breakfast and lunch, have a light dinner, and have a snack that's high in protein. Men can have 2 snacks, women 1, and that's designed because of the amount of protein that people need for their bodies. They recommend high-protein snacks such as hard-boiled eggs, cheese, say celery with peanut butter, tuna fish, egg salad on there, different things. So not a junky snack, a high-powered snack. And they even have what they call a cookie, where you can use that as a snack, where in 150 calories you get half a meal's worth of protein, fiber, and a wonderful source of calcium. For people who need to make a financial difference in their life, this is a fantastic business opportunity where the company really provides a lot of incentives and a lot of help and support to help you develop. My particular team has a multimillionaire coach who's in the process of writing a book describing how people can become millionaires through proper coaching and mentoring. He has a 3-part coaching program where the first part is getting into a business, second part is stock market, precious metals, and other things, and third part is real estate. And after searching many businesses for the best opportunity, he chose Vitalis Sciences. And he's committed to getting everybody there and leaving no person behind. So if you're interested in just health for yourself or your family, or if you're interested in a great business opportunity, I suggest that you really take a serious look at this. You can find it again on my website at www.diabeticsurvivalkit.com. If you go to the store, it'll move you over to the website. For Vitalis Sciences, you can find our phone numbers and give us a call and learn more about it.
That's fantastic. And thank you so much, Dr. Stibble, for sharing your just wealth of information and knowledge with us and our listeners. And I know it's just going to make a difference in thousands of people's lives, the information and education that you've been sharing with people. And, you know, I just know your heart as a person, you just have an amazing heart. And just come from a servant's heart and wanting to help and bless so many people's lives, and that's what you've done over your more than 30 years as a doctor, and I know it's what you're going to continue to do, you know, every day for the rest of your life, and just so proud of you and what you've been doing, and just want to thank you again for being with us here today.
And thank you for having me, and I think the opportunity to help people, and especially as a doctor and somebody who can help show people the way who I've never even met, I think of that as a gift from God.
Absolutely. Every day is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift from God. And if people realize that, I think they'll see the way, and they'll see how to develop their hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And I'll help them, and then they'll help others.
Yeah, that's so great. This is beautiful. And thank you again for being with us today.